are left as a caricature as opposed to someone standing up for the broad application of universal rights. That is a piece of legislation that I introduced in May of 2023. It is one that has started to increase the number of co-sponsors we've seen in both chambers, and also recently received the support from Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
And also, we've only got about 30 seconds left, but you've promised also to eliminate all bus fares on city buses if you're elected. How would you pay for that?
So that is something that I would use current city revenue towards, as well as use the bully pulpit, the second largest in America, to continue to advocate for what I've been calling for since I got to Albany, which is raising taxes on the wealthiest New Yorkers and the wealthiest corporations that do business in New York. What we've seen in the free bus pilot that we won in Albany just 2 years ago is that when you make buses free, ridership increases by 30%, assaults on bus operators drop by nearly 40%, and you get people out of cars and onto public transit. It's time we bring that reality to every New Yorker across New York City.
Zohran Mamdani, Democratic Socialist New York State Assembly member, is today launching his campaign for New York City mayor. And that does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for our video news production and digital fellowship programs. You can learn more and apply at democracynow.org. And we'll be doing an election night four-hour special. Check it out on our website. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Show your support for KBOO today by becoming a member. Just text KBOO to the phone number 44321 and join the thousands of members who make volunteer-powered radio possible.
Support for KBOO comes from KBOO members and Grendel's Coffee Shop, located at East Burnside and 8th Avenue in Portland, featuring coffee, tea, sandwiches, and more. Information at grendelspdx.com.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, a police department in Clackamas County wants to play hide-and-seek.
Vice President Kamala Harris remarks on the dangers of Donald Trump.
And in international news, Israel continues airstrikes in and around Lebanon.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, October 23rd, 2024. I'm Althea Billings.
And I'm Eliza Yurkov. A police department in Clackamas County is hosting an unusual Halloween event. Sherwood Police will put on a hide-and-seek event on October 30th, next Wednesday. Police officers will be armed and in uniform as registered attendees run through Stella Olson Park at night. The police department has hosted other unique community events like Coffee with the Force, where people wore Star Wars-themed costumes and chatted with police officers. Hide and Seek with Cops is inspired by the similarly named annual event in Moreland, Oklahoma. However, that three-year-long standing event is aimed at children, and it's in community with a population of 1,400. The Sherwood event is for those 12 years of age and older. Public Information Officer Paul Mattson III said the officers' guns will be in their holsters like they normally would be if they were chasing a suspect. He said, quote, "If the officers are not uniformed or armed, it defeats the goal of helping community members overcome fear of interacting with officers as they are," end quote. The event has drawn skepticism and concern on social media. One Facebook commenter wrote, quote, "So you didn't think about how traumatizing interactions with cops with guns have been? You set this up as a game? Have you actually tried community outreach and sensitivity training?" End quote. And another wrote, quote, "I'd go, but I like breathing," end quote.
Vice President Kamala Harris unexpectedly made remarks in front of her residence this morning, saying that Donald Trump, quote, "wants unchecked power." She said that recently Trump has described his political adversaries as, quote, the enemy from within, and publicly considered sending the military after them. She said, quote, Donald Trump is increasingly unhinged and unstable, and in a second term, people like John Kelly would not be there to be the guardrails against his propensities and his actions, end quote. In a New York Times interview, Trump's former chief of staff, John Kelly, said that, in his opinion, Trump met the definition of a fascist, would govern like a dictator if allowed, and had no understanding of the Constitution or the concept of rule of law. Stephen Chung, a spokesperson for Trump's campaign, said Kelly, quote, beclowned himself with these debunked stories he has fabricated, end quote.
Israeli jets bombed multiple buildings in a city in coastal Lebanon today. Meanwhile, Hezbollah confirmed that a top official, widely expected to be the militant group's next leader, was killed in an Israeli strike. Tyre, a provincial capital, had largely been spared in the Israel-Hezbollah war, but strikes in and around the city have ramped up recently. The Israeli military did issue evacuation warnings hours before. It advised residents to move dozens of kilometers to the north. The strikes targeted six buildings, flattening four of them, some 2.5 hours after the evacuation. The structures hit today were near several heritage sites, including the Hippodrome. Hezbollah confirmed the top official, Hashem Safadin, had been killed one day after Israel claimed credit. Safadin was a powerful cleric within the party ranks and had been expected to succeed Hassan Nasrallah, the former secretary general of Hezbollah. An Israeli airstrike killed Nasrallah last month. Lebanon's health ministry said 28 people were killed and 139 wounded over the past 24 hours. The death toll in Lebanon since the conflict began last year has hit 2,574, with 1,200 people wounded. In addition, the fighting has driven 1.2 million people from their homes, including more than 400,000 children, according to the UN Children's Agency. On the Israeli side, near-daily rocket barrages have emptied out communities across the northern part of the country, displacing some 60,000 people. In recent weeks, Hezbollah has extended its range, regularly targeting the northern Israeli city of Haifa. There were no reports of casualties in Tyre.
A new affordable housing development in Milwaukee, Oregon, is scheduled to break ground tomorrow. Shortstack Milwaukee is described as a missing middle affordable housing project. It's the first home ownership project in Clackamas County to be funded by the Metro Housing Bond. The project consists of 15 two-bedroom cottages priced at 60 to 80% of the area median income. Each home is electric and will follow the Energy Trust of Oregon's Pathway to Net Zero program by meeting energy efficiency requirements. The development is priced at $7.6 million, and Shortstack received $700,000 in funding from Metro's Affordable Housing Bond. The development also owes its creation to zoning reform. The Cottage Cluster Zoning Reform Law allocates funding to medium-density housing projects like bungalows, townhouses, and duplexes statewide. The new development will use a community land trust model. That means the nonprofit Proud Ground will own the land beneath the homes, even as the buildings themselves are sold. This shared equity model, along with profit restrictions on future sales of the homes, is supposed to keep the prices affordable. The development will be located in the Ardenwald neighborhood of Milwaukee.
More affordable housing is coming to Grants Pass, the southern Oregon town that brought a case to the Supreme Court that overturned the right of homeless people to sleep or rest on public property. Addressing homelessness in Grants Pass through services or more housing has not been widely popular at a city level. In contrast, Josephine County Commissioners approved allocating $157,000 to the Hillcrest Veterans Village project last Thursday. Mid-Rogue Foundation is the nonprofit that's running the 36-apartment development. They announced plans for the project in February of this year. It used $93,000 of the county's COVID-19 relief funding to pursue a different site, but the state did not approve it. The most recent funding from Josephine County comes out of the COVID-19 relief funds as well. Mid-Rogue found the current site on Northeast Hillcrest Drive and was awarded $10.6 million from the state earlier this month. Doug Walker is the volunteer project manager. Walker says they expect to break ground in May of 2025 and move in residents by next winter. The development still needs to complete architectural drawings, permitting, and install a running water line. It will reserve 22 of the 1 and 2 bedroom apartments specifically for veterans, while the remaining 14 apartments will have a preference for veterans. The complex will be built for older adults and those with disabilities, including features like grab bars, walk-in showers, and accessible kitchens.
Donald Trump blames the enemy within for Israeli intelligence leaks. Experts feel Elon Musk's voter sweepstakes crossed a line and voting rights groups try to get young people more engaged. With more on these stories, it's Edwin J. Vieira with 2024 Talks.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
They leaked all the information about the way that Israel's going to fight and how they're going to fight and where they're going to go.
At a roundtable for Latino voters, former President Donald Trump says the enemy within is responsible for leaking plans about a possible Israeli attack on Iran. The FBI is investigating how the military details ended up on an Iranian-linked Telegram account and hasn't said if this was a leak or a hack. The former president has repeatedly called political rivals the enemy within and threatened to use military force against them. Several states are seeing heavy early voting, which may suggest a high turnout election. In Texas, a controversial abortion ban, along with a surprisingly competitive Senate race, might be a reason. A new survey there finds that under the new abortion law, 3/4 of state doctors say they feel they can't practice medicine according to best practices, and nearly 2/3 fear legal repercussions if they do. Dr. Domla Carson with Comprehensive Women's Healthcare in Houston says it's creating confusion.
How sick does a woman have to be? How close to death does she have to be confident that the state will deem that the intervention was warranted? There's just really no clarity around it.
Some election lawyers say Elon Musk's daily $1 million giveaway to registered swing state voters who sign a conservative petition may be illegally encouraging them to turn out. David Becker with the Center for Election Innovation and Research says it's a federal crime to pay for registering or voting.
This is clearly designed to inspire registration. It was even done in such a way as to coincide with the Pennsylvania voter registration deadline, for instance. And clearly it's designed to only affect political outcomes in 7 states.
National groups, some student-led, are trying to increase young people's political engagement. Generation Citizens Vote 16 USA campaign's Lawan Allen says they're pushing to lower the voting age to 16 in some states.
If you vote in one election, you're much more likely to vote in another. And if we start that early, that percentage goes up.
The Center for Voters Initiative in Action is a youth-led group working with congressional lawmakers to pass the High School Voter Empowerment Act, which would designate schools as voter registration agencies and reimburse them for the cost. Yun Park is with the CVIA.
The primary purpose is to increase civic engagement activities across high schools nationwide and receive funding for it to make these kinds of things accessible and provided for all high schools.
If voters there approve a ballot measure, Oregon would join a growing number of states that use ranked choice voting. Blair Bobier with Oregon Ranked Choice Voting says it makes each ballot more effective and forces campaigns to be more moderate and inclusive.
Candidates have to campaign to a broader section of the community rather than just focus on a very narrow band of ardent supporters.
After Trump cooked French fries and handed out food to vetted supporters, McDonald's issued a statement that it doesn't endorse political candidates. The company says it doesn't endorse candidates, but contributes to both parties. I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for an interview with Street Roots reporter Jeremiah Hayden about his latest story on Multnomah County's lawsuit against gas company Northwest Natural. At 6, it's The Underground. Then at 7, it's PDX Progressive Talk Radio. Tonight's weather is clear with a low of 47 degrees. Tomorrow's weather will be partly cloudy with a high of 47 degrees. Today in history, Dumbo is released in 1941. The iconic large-eared elephant packed the 64-minute feature with emotions from tragic sadness to triumphant joy. It is the shortest-running time of any Disney feature film. The quote of the day is from a response to post-World War II anxiety, Godzilla. Hideo Ogata, a ship captain, explains how even when you're afraid, you must act. Quote, "Then you have a responsibility no man has ever faced. You have your fear, which might become reality, and you have Godzilla, which is reality." End quote.
The Alaska Federation of Natives delegates voted unanimously to endorse U.S. Representative Mary Peltola in her bid for re-election, and Rapid City, South Dakota aims to fill gaps in students' mental health needs. With those stories and more, it's Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. At the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention in Anchorage last week, AFN delegates voted unanimously to endorse Congresswoman Mary Peltola in her bid for re-election. The Democrat faces a fierce challenge from Republican Nick Begich. When Peltola addressed the convention, she did not specifically ask for their vote. Instead, she talked to the gathering about the lessons in survival she learned from her elders.
No one is coming here to save us. We need to know our survival skills, and one of them is getting along, working together, having a unified voice. Another one of our survival skills is voting.
Peltola warned that her race could be extremely close.
We have got to make sure we have really high voter turnout rates. Whoever wins this race is going to win by dozens of votes. This congressional seat is going to be won by dozens of votes. We are going to need everyone who's on our side to be out and voting.
Peltola spoke of a concerted effort on the part of Republican leaders to make it harder to vote.
Hey, if we can survive in Alaska for over 12,000 years, we know how to find the polling place. We know how to mail in a ballot. We know how to do this.
Peltola in her first run for office was helped by ranked choice voting, a new system of casting ballots in Alaska. AFN passed a resolution to oppose a ballot measure this November that would do away with ranked choice voting. As research continues to demonstrate the need for youth mental health services, some schools work to fill that need. Now the Rapid City, South Dakota area schools has received a $3.4 million grant to address service gaps in its schools. The money comes from the U.S. Department of Education School-Based Mental Health Services Grant Program and will be distributed over the next 5 years. Interim Superintendent Corey Strasser says it offers the district a chance to invest in culturally sensitive programming.
That allows us to meet the vast, diverse needs of our students. And when we look at student well-being, this is a really targeted approach to increase our staffing and provide culturally appropriate determinants of mental health.
Rapid City Area Schools has the highest percentage of Indigenous students out of any other district in the state, except for those on reservations. The Washington Department of Natural Resources is putting together a new strategic plan on how to manage state lands concerning recreation and outdoor access. Steve Jackson reports the plan seeks to address issues important to tribes in the state.
DNR reports increased use on public lands in recent years has caused more issues like increased litter, unsanctioned trails, and timber theft. They hope a new strategic plan can help reduce those problems. DNR Chief Hillary Fran says a draft plan put together in the last few months with various stakeholders also will attempt to address the impact of increased land use on the state's Native American tribes.
Tribes have a sovereign right to the lands of this state, and we have a responsibility to ensure that their use and access to natural and cultural resources is recognized and respected, not just now, but in the future.
The agency is soliciting public comment on the draft of the plan, which can be found on the DNR website. Public comment on the Outdoor Access and Responsible Recreation Plan is open to November the 21st. For National Native News, I'm Steve Jackson reporting from Spokane.
Services are planned Wednesday in Arizona for Navajo code talker John Kenzel Sr., the Navajo Times reports. He served in World War II in the Marines during the Battle of Iwo Jima and was among Navajo men who used their native language to develop an unbreakable code. He passed away Saturday at age 107. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Sherry's Cafe and Pies has closed its 17 remaining restaurants in Oregon. The chain started the year with 42 locations, but quietly closed locations over the past 6 months. Deb Molina, the manager for the Sherry's near the Portland airport, said, quote, "We've been in hospice for months, and it was just dragged out to the very end," quote, end quote. In 2017, Sherry's had 95 locations in six states. Ron and Sharon Sherry Bergquist opened the first Sherry's in Hermiston, Oregon in 1978. By 1999, it became the ninth largest family restaurant chain in the United States. The 24-hour pie and video lottery chain was known for its hexagon-shaped restaurants and late-night meals. Confirmation of the closures came from the Oregon Lottery Commission. It monitors Sherry's because the restaurant's video lottery terminals generate millions of dollars in revenue. Molina said it was clear the restaurant was in financial peril due to eviction notices, unpaid bills, and back taxes. She told KGW that trash piled up behind the restaurant when garbage service stopped and food supplies were not being delivered on a regular basis. Another 24-hour restaurant chain, Denny's, announced today that it will be closing 150 restaurants across the country this year and next.
The U.S. is working to reduce methane emissions. A recent congressional briefing addressed the use of dairy digesters, which capture the biogas from cow manure and turn it into natural gas. Suzanne Potter has the details.
Can cow manure help solve climate change? Experts at a recent congressional briefing say yes. Anaerobic digesters, known as dairy digesters, can capture methane, a greenhouse gas, from waste pits at dairy farms. They convert the biogas to natural gas, which can be used to generate clean power. Congressman Jim Costa, who represents parts of the San Joaquin Valley, says it's a win-win.
You can set up a methane digest operator that can really be very efficient, very effective, and produce a lot of electricity and handle the waste at the same time. So these sustainable farming practices have reduced operational costs to farmers.
However, some environmental groups argue that this doesn't address so-called enteric methane, a natural byproduct of cows digesting their food, which is responsible for more than 70% of agricultural methane emissions. Advocates suggest a better solution would be for people to cut their consumption of dairy and meat. Matt Tomich, president of the environmental research group Energy Vision, says methane reduction through dairy digesters is the low-hanging fruit of the clean energy transition.
It's the single biggest lever that we have to slow warming, particularly in the short term.
Elissa Acco is senior advisor for the United States Special Presidential Envoy for Climate, which works with other countries and non-governmental organizations to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. She says agricultural methane is a big piece of the puzzle.
Methane emissions from human activities are now contributing to around 30% of the warming that we're experiencing today. That's second only to carbon dioxide, which is nearly half of today's warming.
The U.S. has committed to the Global Methane Pledge, which calls for countries to cut methane 30% by 2030 globally relative to 2020 levels. This story was produced with original reporting by Dawn Atreide for Sentient. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
Early voting is underway in Tennessee until October 31st, but not everyone has the opportunity to participate. Research from the Sentencing Project says more than 4 million people nationwide and almost 400,000 people in Tennessee won't be able to cast a ballot in the 2024 presidential election due to a past felony conviction. Danielle Smith reports.
Tens of thousands of Tennesseans with felony convictions are unable to vote in the November 5th general election. Research by the Sentencing Project shows over 399,000 Tennesseans are among the 4 million Americans affected by felony disenfranchisement. Nicole D. Porter with the Sentencing Project says Tennessee continues to marginalize these individuals post-incarceration, mainly due to its complex process to restore their rights. She notes there are several options for restoring those rights, but few manage to overcome the obstacles involved.
People have to submit applications for their rights restoration. They have to seek a pardon for their rights restoration. And in order to be eligible, it's not just automatic eligibility, but people have to satisfy fines and fees. And in those fees include being current on child support payments.
The report says fewer than 3,500 Tennesseans had their voting rights restored between 2018 and 2023. Porter adds the Sentencing Project wants Tennessee to consider changing its current policies and to allow people even still in prison, regardless of their crime or conviction, to vote. Critics of that idea says those who are convicted of serious crimes should lose their voting rights. Porter says disenfranchisement affects both incarcerated and non-incarcerated people in several southern states, including Tennessee. The report shows it has led to racial inequity and says across the country, 1 in 22 African Americans of voting age is disenfranchised. She adds it also focuses on the disproportionate effect of disenfranchisement on women.
The report also highlights the gender disenfranchisement estimates across states, and that is new to the report, where we estimate the number of women with felony convictions who are disenfranchised nationally and also within states.
It estimates 764,000 women make up just under one-fifth of the total disenfranchised population. Porter says the Sentencing Project researchers hope the report sheds light on the persistent problem of felony disenfranchisement as outdated and racially biased. Support for this reporting was provided by Carnegie Corporation of New York. I'm Danielle Smith, Tennessee News Service.
One Georgia group's initiative is turning discarded oyster shells from restaurants into a natural defense for the state's coastline. Shell to Shore was founded by two Oyster Bar employees. It repurposes shell waste to restore oyster reefs and combat coastal erosion. Shantia Hudson has more on the story.
Two Oyster Bar workers thought they were just shucking shells, but now they're helping save the environment one discarded oyster at a time. Hunt Rebel and Tyler Leslie worked at Sea Bear Oyster Bar in Athens and were shocked by the volume of shells they were discarding. With the help of experts, Rebel and Leslie discovered how these shells could benefit the environment and launched Shell to Shore. The group's Malcolm Provost explains these shells are now instrumental in fighting erosion along Georgia's coast.
They clean the water, they hold the soil down, and they create a really vibrant environment for a lot of other sea life and shoreline life. One full-grown oyster can filter 50 gallons of water per day.
Shell to Shore collects oyster shells from restaurant partners in Atlanta, Athens, Augusta, and Savannah, as well as from other oyster-related events. The group cures them for 6 months and then transports them to the coast to build living shorelines and restore oyster reefs. Thomas Bliss is the director of the University of Georgia Marine Extension and Georgia Sea Grant's Shellfish Research Laboratory. He has been collecting and recycling oyster shells on Skidaway Island for 2 decades. Bliss says Shell to Shore is doing more than helping grow the shore infrastructure, but also building pathways to expand oyster shell recycling. He hopes as more people understand the benefits of oysters and the importance of recycling their shells, it will naturally encourage greater involvement in caring for the coast. For Georgia News Connection, I'm Shantia Hudson. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. This story was produced with original reporting from Isabel Atkins for Grady News Source.
KBOO News poet Dan Raphael is feeling harassed by constant election news.
Feels like I'm living in a countdown, but I don't know if it's to something positive about to launch or something about to crash or dissolve. And it's close to Halloween, ticking clocks are ominous. Odds are this countdown won't end on election day. I hope that doesn't mean entering negative numbers. You can't stop a moving train by standing on the tracks. You need to catch it at the station or cause an unexpected rerouting. It's been 2 seconds till nuclear war for several years, and the silent countdowns to uncertain results from winter to Gaza to climate breakdown. Give me the short-term countdowns. When does the show start? When will the pizza get here? Get beyond the waiting and do spontane. See an open door and go through it. As Rebecca Solnit said, expect the unexpected and realize that sometimes you have to be the unexpected. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, October 23rd, 2024. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news, your stories, and your tips to 971-245-2158. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Dan Raphael, Josh Salem, Eliza Yurkov, and David Rosenberg. The producer is Eliza Yurkov, and our engineer is the esteemable Ray Bodwell. Special thanks to Edwin J. Vieira, and Antonia Gonzalez, Eric Tegadoff, Suzanne Potter, Shantia Hudson, and Danielle Smith. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Althea Billings.
And I'm Eliza Yurkov. All of our KBOO programs, including the Evening News, are supported by our illustrious members. If you would like to become an illustrious member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for News in Depth.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You are listening to KBOO News in Depth. I'm Althea Billings. I'm here with Jeremiah Hayden, reporter at Street Roots, to talk about his latest story. It's called Multnomah County Adds Northwest Natural Oregon Institute of Science and Medicine to Climate Lawsuit. The massive lawsuit could set a precedent for holding gas utilities and private fossil fuel companies accountable for climate misinformation. Welcome to the show, Jeremiah.
Hi, Althea. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. So Multnomah County adds Northwest Natural to its climate lawsuit. Let's start there. What is this lawsuit all about?
Yeah, so this story is basically a follow-up story that we've kind of been covering for the last